Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday, President Trump spoke about, as is tradition, spoke about the slaughter from a century ago of 1.5 million Armenians. 1.5 million of them. Now, it made the Turks angry. The Hurriyet Daily News, one of the daily newspapers in Turkey, reports that the government there is criticizing Donald Trump for the things that he said. And you know what? What he said, it actually was toned down. Because even though it was this horrific genocide, and I'm thankful that Donald Trump did recognize this as is done every year in America by our government, still, he didn't call it a genocide, and there's politics to that. And he didn't say that the killers were Muslim and that the victims were Christian. He left those particulars out. And even at that, the Turks are angry at this remembrance. I have a bit of an affinity towards Armenia, not because it's a godly nation, but because of their history and the role they played, not only in the adoption of Christianity, but also go way back to the earliest days of civilization after the global flood. Connect all those dots. But first, we got a letter from the Sheriff's Department in San Bernardino County, California, where that horrific terrorist attack took place in December, almost, 17 months ago now. And we have requested the autopsies for the two Muslim terrorists. And all the victims, their autopsies have been made public. The two terrorists, the murderers, theirs have not. And so I'd like to quote to you from this letter. And in fact, we're posting it on our website. So if you go to kgov.com and right there on the homepage, or if you're hearing this in the future, then just go to the BEL archives and go to the program dated April 25th, 2017, and you'll find the link to the PDF for this. It's on their letterhead, John McMahon, Sheriff Coroner, San Bernardino County, California. And the letter is from an attorney there, Miles Kowalski, their general legal counsel for the Sheriff's Department. Dated April 24th, 2017, KGov Radio, attention, Bob Enyart, R.E., public records request, autopsy report for S. Farouk and T. Malik. Dear Mr. Enyart, the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department is in receipt of the public records request wherein you seek autopsy reports for Saeed Rizwan Farouk and Tashfeen Malik. So the man and the woman, ostensibly married. I don't know, but they have different last names, but supposedly husband and wife, Muslim. The department has concluded its review and addresses your request as follows. Currently, the autopsy reports and coroner investigations and all other law enforcement records pertaining to the death of Saeed R. Farouk and Tashfeen Malik are part of an investigatory file and are exempt from disclosure. And that's somewhat reasonable, so I'll read to you the reasons for this, and then we'll discuss would it serve the public interest to have the autopsy reports for these two Muslim terrorists from California a year and a half ago, to have those autopsies made public. So the Sheriff's Department has written to us and said, we have your request, but we're denying it. We're keeping the autopsies private for now, and maybe indefinitely. But let's continue, and we'll think this through. Government Code Section 625.4F exempts from public records disclosure, any investigatory or security files compiled for correctional, law enforcement, or licensing purposes. These records are exempt from disclosure whether or not the prospect of enforcement proceedings is concrete and definite. Who are they going to prosecute, right? Because the two are dead, but maybe they'll find accomplices. That's possible. And these proceedings remain protected from disclosure even after an investigation has concluded. The reasons they give are they want to protect witnesses, victims, investigators. And in this case of this terrorist attack, we know who the witnesses are. We know who the victims are. The investigators are FBI agents and local sheriff's department. Also, to secure evidence and investigative techniques. And that's all, you know, reasonably understandable in many cases. To encourage candor and recognize the rawness of sensitive information in criminal investigations. So that's all reasonably argued. But then there is also the public interest to know. And in this case, when you look at the most well-known public photograph of the man, Saeed Farooq, this Muslim terrorist mass murderer, it just brings a question to mind. Is he similar to some of the other mass murderers in our recent history and Islamic terrorists in that did he use drugs to help him proceed with his plan to kill a lot of people? Because drugs do have that effect. They tend to dampen your conscience and remove your inhibitions. So if you recall, other Islamic terrorists who smoked pot were the Boston bomber, Zokar Tsarnaev. Remember him? And in Chattanooga, I mean, Americans forget. We've had so many terrorist attacks, they forget, but the Islamic terrorist there, Mohammed Abdul Aziz, he was a pothead. We got pictures of himself smoking pot on 420 and all. This is 425 today. So then there's all the other mass murderers and the horrific crimes that really caused such suffering in the nation and by potheads. Remember the Aurora Theater murderer, James Holmes, total pothead. And remember the Planned Parenthood shooter, Robert Louis Deer, pothead. Remember the Tucson mass murderer, James Loeffner, pothead. Even that infamous Jodi Arias, remember her? Pothead, murderer. Remember the woman who drove her car wildly up on the sidewalk in Las Vegas? The Vegas Strip murderer, Lakeisha Holloway, pothead. Remember Freddie Gray in Baltimore caused all the riots, burned down a good chunk of the city? Pothead. Remember Trayvon Martin? Pothead. Remember Michael Brown in Ferguson, his suicide by cop? Pothead. So, hey, it's all a coincidence, I know, but I would like to know if the coincidence goes further with the ringleader of this Islamic terrorist attack in San Bernardino County, California. And I'd like to know if he had marijuana in his system from his autopsy report. But we get from this lawyer for the sheriff's department, Miles Kowalski, dated yesterday to KGov Radio, attention Bob Enyart, Government Code Section 6255A also authorizes denial of a public records request when the public interest served by not disclosing the record clearly outweighs the public interest served by disclosure of the record. And so that would be very hard for a California lawyer to determine. I mean, a California lawyer may not be able to recognize that there is a public interest in listing all of the mass murderers and the Islamic terrorists who were potheads at the time of their crimes and of their terrorist acts. Might be hard for him to weigh that. In this case, he goes on, the danger of compromising an active investigation clearly outweighs the public interest in disclosure. For the reasons outlined above, your request is respectfully denied. If you have any questions or concerns or would like to discuss this matter further, please contact me. It's very, very nicely written, very professional. And I don't think it's worth me contacting him because it wouldn't be persuasive coming from a radio show host in Denver, Colorado. And so that's why we sent this letter, a copy of this letter, to the Los Angeles Times and to the local network TV news affiliates for ABC and NBC and CBS, because they may not have noticed that the autopsy reports have not been released in almost a year and a half. And if one of them are interested for their own reasons, they may go ahead and push it and maybe file a motion in court and get the autopsies. So we'll let you know if there's any development there. Now, as to Donald Trump's statement yesterday, which is pro forma, it is traditional that the U.S. government, every April 24th, recognizes, issues a statement to remember the 1.5 million Armenians slaughtered a century ago. It was actually 102 years ago now, this year, since we're in 2017. This happened in 1915. So President Trump yesterday issued this traditional statement of the massacre of 1.5 million Armenians. He didn't call it a genocide. And, of course, every word, these things are very deliberate. So Trump has just congratulated the president of Turkey, Erdogan, for basically collecting an incredible amount of power within his presidency so that he could further Islamize Turkey. Turkey is going through increasingly strained relationship with the rest of Europe and the European Union because of its move aggressively toward an increasingly Islamic state there. It was more of a secular Islamic government, but it's becoming more overtly pro-Islam. If you want to build a church in Turkey, maybe it would not be as difficult as building one in Saudi Arabia, but I'd say good luck. Good luck. How many Christians, and we're told that Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. So go to Turkey and try to build a church. See how tolerant they are. I mean, a mosque, the government will give you the money to build your mosque in Turkey. Or they'll give you the money to pay for the imam. That's more accurate. I think you raise the money to build the mosque, and then they give you the money to pay for the imam. In Saudi Arabia, how many churches are there in Mecca, the capital city? That's the heart of Islam worldwide. There are zero churches. How many synagogues? In the whole country of Saudi Arabia, there are zero. You know what? How many Jews are in Saudi Arabia? That's an interesting question. Now, Wikipedia, their article on the number of Jews per country around the world, the most recent update was for the country of Egypt. And I know this because I'm the one who made the update to the article. And it's now 18. There are 18 Jews left in Egypt. 18. You know how you have a table of numbers and you look up at the top to see, is it hundreds? Is it thousands? Is it millions? No, these are ones. It's 18 Jews left in Egypt. How many in Saudi Arabia? Zero. Zero Jews. So this is the religion of peace. And over in Turkey, the Hurriyet Daily News, that's one of the daily newspapers. And Hurriyet, you know, if you've been studying the Bible with us at Denver Bible Church, we have our monthly Bible study albums. We went through Genesis, and somewhere in the middle of Genesis, you learned about the Hurrians. They weren't always in a rush. This was an ancient people group, the Hurrians, also in the Bible called the Hivites. Remember the Hivites? Well, they're the Hurrians. Recently, a dictionary tablet was uncovered in the ancient city of Ugarit. And it had basically a Hurrian Akkadian dictionary on a tablet. It's just awesome. And so they're better able now to understand the meaning of the titles and the names and the peoples that have been recorded in the Bible for many thousands of years, including the guy who King David bought the land for the temple in Jerusalem, Ornan the Jebusite, that name and or title. Okay, so the point here is that while it's great that Donald Trump continued the American tradition of remembering the 1.5 million Armenians slaughtered in 1915, it is unfortunate that he didn't mention that the killers were Muslim and the victims were Christian. The killers were the Ottoman Turks. They're Muslim. Turkey today is overwhelmingly Muslim. The killers of this genocide, the perpetrators were Muslim and the victims were Christian. So that seems like it was a bridge too far for Donald Trump to mention that because he wants the help of Erdogan. So they issued a very carefully worded statement. And it is good that Trump did say that we remember and honor the memory of those who suffered during the Meds Yeghern. Now, most Americans wouldn't know what the Meds Yeghern is. They wouldn't know that it had anything to do with Muslims and Christians. One of the worst mass atrocities of the 20th century, I joined the Armenian community, and that enrages the Turks, just to say that. I joined the Armenian community, just like it would enrage them to say, I joined the Kurdish community. That would enrage them too, because the Kurds who live in eastern Turkey, they want their own Kurdistan, and Armenia is right there. From the capital city of Armenia, you look up and you see Mount Ararat. It's just the majestic view every sunset. So the president wrote, I joined the Armenian community in America and around the world in mourning the loss of innocent lives and the suffering endured by so many. That was a missed opportunity. Donald Trump also forgot to mention that he presides over a country that has its own genocide every year, where we kill about 1.5 million preborn children every year or so with surgical and chemical abortions. So that was his fourth oversight. He didn't call it a genocide, didn't say that America has our own, didn't say that the 1.5 million in Armenia were Christians, and didn't say that the mass murderers were Muslims. But other than that, it was good to remember those Armenian victims. So I mentioned that I have an affinity with Armenia, and I do. There's something about that nation that it's been ripped off in the recollection of historians in so many ways. And so I'd like to talk a bit about that on our website, kgov.com. It's one of the few places in the world that you could get quickly a brief overview of the role of Armenia in ancient history after the global flood. If Noah's Ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, then right there is Armenia, and as Noah's descendants would follow the Fertile Crescent and Mesopotamia, the land between the rivers, Mesopotamia, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, eventually down to the sea, that whole land, that's the cradle of civilization. You go to a museum in Colorado and you find artifacts that are 200 years old. It's like, wow, that's 200 years old. You go to a museum in New York City and you find artifacts that are 400 years old, 500 years old. Wow, that's 500 years old. You go to a museum in England and you find artifacts that are 1,000 years old. You go to Rome and artifacts in their museums are 2,000 years old. And you go to Greece and they're 3,000 years old. And Egypt, 4,000 years old. And you go to the museums in Turkey and you find artifacts that are 4,000, 5,000 years old. The oldest iron implement in the world, a knife, there in the Museum on the Anatolian Civilization Museum in Ankara. And so this is, we're talking about the cradle of civilization. You know, the whole evolutionary out of Africa thing? That's a lie, too. That's wrong. Mankind, I mean, it's noble to be in Africa or from Africa, but it's a lie that human beings came from Africa. That's a lie, right? We came from God, created us in the Garden of Eden, and then because of our wickedness, there was the global judgment of the flood, and then those who survived, eight human beings, as testified by the genetic bottleneck, by the way, reported in science journals, eight human beings survived, and the ark came to rest there in the Middle East, and actually the northern part of Mesopotamia, most likely Mount Ararat. And so that is the thumbnail sketch of ancient history. And the more you study, the more you see that the evolutionary worldview is false, and the biblical worldview is true. So we have a page, our website, if you go to kgov.com/Armenia, it's actually a different page, but we put all our Armenia information on the page regarding the genius of ancient man. Because if the Bible is true, the further back in history you go, the more brilliant men should be. And if atheism is true, the further back in history you go, the more stupid men should be. So the evolutionary paradigm is of the grunting cavemen. And you contrast that with the actual historical and archaeological evidence of the brilliant and sophisticated ancient human civilization, with this evidence being worldwide. There's a book, I interviewed the author, and it's on this same page. You could also get to the page by going to kgov.com/genius. And the book is called The Genius of Ancient Man. And Don Landis writes, all over the world, there are similar findings that the peoples who were alive in ancient times were world travelers. They had advanced astronomy. Ancient man had advanced knowledge of astronomical movements, including the precession of the equinoxes, which is just extraordinary. You know, Roman sailors used the Antikythera mechanism. It was to track the sun, moon, and planets when it was a cloudy day or a overcast night. You couldn't see the heavenly bodies. And so they used this device that had dozens of gears that literally told them the position of the sun, the moon, and the planets. Now, how's that for more than 2,000 years ago? We thought that modern Europeans invented mechanized machines and clocks with gears in them. So, and a couple just reminders. You know, ancient man, the oldest of men, when they did go, they weren't cavemen, but when they did go into a cave, they would put art on the walls, including animation, so that as you walked down the dark cave with your torch flickering, it looked like wild animals were running alongside of you. And those pictures, we've got those pictures from many thousands of years ago. 4,400 years ago, the Sumerians, their calligraphy, early writing was gorgeous, just beautiful. 2000 BC, that's 4,000 years ago. Did you know, according to the Quarterly Journal of the Royal Astronomical Society, that astronomers 4,000 years ago, they knew the period of Mercury's orbit. They knew how long it took Mercury to complete one orbit in Earth days. Pretty stunning, no? The Babylonians, remember the Pythagorean theorem? Yeah, only the Babylonians had it 1,000 years before Pythagoras. 1,000 years before. You know, calculus? That was invented by Isaac Newton, right? Except it was previously invented by the Babylonians. And this comes from a paper in the journal Science from 2016. Ancient Babylonian astronomers calculated Jupiter's position. and they used a form of calculus to figure out, to predict where Jupiter would be in the night sky. And meanwhile, human IQ is dropping. So it's not as the evolutionists would have you think, in the survival of the fittest, and the fittest keep getting fitter and fitter. No, all species on Earth are deteriorating. And so that brings us to the ancient brilliance of Armenia. At Boston University, there was an astronomy professor, Gerald Hawkins. He was the world's leading expert on something called archaeoastronomy. You know what that is? The astronomy of the ancients, what they knew about the heavens. He reviewed a book that I have read. I absolutely love this book. It's called Armenians in Old Armenia. And he wrote, he endorsed the book as a scholarly work. He wrote, "I am most impressed with the careful work, and I hope the result will ultimately get recorded in the literature." And he just goes on to give details of how important this work is. And he compares it to his own work at Stonehenge in England, because he is the astronomer who helped the world understand that Stonehenge wasn't just a random collection of upright stones, but they were designed to be an observatory to study the heavens. And so this book on Armenians in Old Armenia, now Armenia has been written out of mankind's ancient history, and Africa has been written in, right? We're out of Africa. So Armenia, in all the brilliance that was in ancient Armenia, has no place in that picture. So they're basically overlooked. But ancient Armenians, and we're going back thousands of years. We're going back to 2000 BC and before. The ancient Armenians, and we know because of their own Stonehenge. Only in Armenia, it's not called Stonehenge. It's called Karahunj. And in Armenian, Kara is stone, and Hunj is speaks. So the stones speak. The stones are used as an observatory so we could study the heavens and learn about the universe, the world we live in. And so because of that, we now know the meaning of Stonehenge, because there is no word in English, henge. So what does that mean, Stonehenge? Well, it means the stones speak. And Stonehenge is a cousin or a nephew of Karahunj in Armenia. So the ancient Armenian astronomers were able to determine, and they know this because of the stones they left over with the holes they drilled through them to make precise measurements decade after decade, century after century. Huge, heavy stones with holes drilled so they can make astronomical measurements. They knew the spherical shape of the Earth. You get it? That the Earth was a sphere. Not, you know, we have people today think the Earth is flat. A lack of science education nationwide in America. What a pathetic job the public schools have done. And because people don't trust anybody. And so people just don't believe. It doesn't matter. They're ignorant and they have no trust whatsoever. So that adds up to pretty much mental illness. At any rate, the ancient Armenian astronomers, they not only knew the spherical shape of the Earth, but they knew the inclination of the Earth's axis, that the Earth was tilted on its axis. They knew the latitude of Armenia on the Earth, how far up from the equator Armenia was. They knew the size of the Earth. They knew the precise moment of noon. And you might think that's easy to know. That's pretty hard to know. When is it noon exactly? They knew the precession of the equinoxes, which was also known on the other side of the world. So the scientist who wrote this book, Armenians in Old Armenia, his name is Paris Haruni. He passed away just recently. He was a member of the Armenian National Academy of Sciences. He's not a Christian, but certainly he was pro-Armenia and undoubtedly biased for Armenia. And so you have to take that into account when you read his book. But he was a scientist. He was accomplished in radar, radio physics, radio astronomy, antenna metrology. He had published scores of scientific papers. He estimated the accuracy that ancient Armenians could obtain with their astronomical stones for these measurements. And for example, for knowing the spring equinox, the moment of noon, to within 2 seconds. Regarding latitude, Parasaruni reported, it's on page 49 of his book. And by the way, we link to his book, which you can read. I've got an actual hard copy of the book, but you could read it online. On page 49, that in the 3rd millennium BC, just before 2000 BC, ancient Armenians knew their 40 degree north latitude to within half a degree. By the way, he was quite a linguist also, and he wrote a lot about the Armenian language. And the primary root word for the Armenian vocabulary is Ar, A-R, and that was the name of the sun god. And then man means a man, and men means men, like in English. So Armen means a man of the sun god, and Armen means men of the sun god. So Armenia is then, you add the IA, which is the ancient suffix for place names because of Genesis 1. And by the way, you can learn about that at our website. Also, just go to kgov.com/Armenia or kgov.com/IA, and it will tell you why, how many regions, you know, countries, geographic locations end in IA. You know, the ones that end in IA or A, there's over 120, and these come from Genesis chapter 1 when God Raka the Rakia. That's how he made the surface of the earth. He Raka the Rakia. And so that's why we have just an astounding list of geographic locations that end in IA and A. You know, you have Anatolia and Arabia and Armenia and Asia and Assyria and Australia and Babylonia and Britannia, Africa, Kenya and Korea. I mean, all around the world. Cappadocia, Cilicia, Ethiopia, India, Indonesia, Italia, Macedonia, Mesopotamia. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. Mongolia, Phoenicia, Polynesia, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Syria. I'm only picking out some, obviously, from this list, but you also have terra firma for the solid earth from Latin, and you have peninsula, and you have even Chaldea, and even our area, and it just, and so many other examples. It literally goes on and on and on. And now we know, those of us who study the Bible and understand what God did on day two when he Raka the Rakia, then we understand why all these geographical names end in A or IA. And we have a complete discussion of that also at kgov.com/firmament. Because on day two, God made the firmament of the earth. He Raka the Rakia. So at any rate, Parasaruni points out that R is their main god of ancient Armenia, the sun god. So it's the primary Armenian root for their vocabulary. In fact, it's the prefix to fully 3% of Armenian words. And that's rather extraordinary. So Armen means, again, man of the sun. Armen, men of the sun. Armenia, with the IA suffix, is language, is the land of the men of the sun. And you know the term Aryan, that we are said to be Aryans, the Germans loved Aryans? Well, you go to a traditional etymology, and it takes the word Aryan back to Sanskrit and Iran. But Haruni brings it back further, because Yan, right, Aryan, Yan is I-A-N, I-A-N, and it's the suffix for Armenian names, like Petrosian and Galoyan and Vartanian, These are common Armenian names, and it has the IA in it, like Egyptian and Babylonian, and it's just that Yan, which comes ultimately from the people of the land, from God Raka, the Rakia, the IA, so IAN, Yan. So at any rate, he says that Aryan means from the sun land, or from the land of the sun, referring to those who descended physically or perhaps even culturally from Armenia. So you know what's interesting about that? We're called Aryans and we're called Caucasians, right? And Armenia is where? Well, the Caucasus, the mountains are there. That's the Caucasians. That's the Aryans. So there's much more to Armenia's role in the development of civilization than scholarship has recognized. And they're motivated with their atheistic out of Africa, which is almost inherently racist, to minimize the major swaths of history that affirms the biblical account. And so incidentally, we have an ancient table of chronologies written by Eusebius, and there's an Armenian translation that helped save for the world Eusebius's ancient chronologies. That's just awesome. So, like I said, and also, it's the first country to basically adopt a Christian culture, which in reality most likely backfired because Jesus said you can't put new wine in old wineskins, and the culture picks up the worldliness around it. And pretty soon, within a few generations, a Christian institution becomes worldly. So at any rate, with all that, perhaps you understand my affinity for Armenia, and then my especial discouragement that Donald Trump couldn't quite get himself to point out that this genocide of 1,500,000 Armenians in 1915 was committed by Muslims against Christians. So I am glad that he recognized that atrocity, but he should have gone further. Our website, kgov.com, and for all these topics we've been talking about, kgov.com/pot, kgov.com/Armenia, kgov.com/genius, and kgov.com/IA. May God bless you.